Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New Life Live today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm joined today by Mark Cameron. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. Yes, great to be with you, too. And also, we have, as always, Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hi, hey, Sherry. Good to be with you gentlemen today.
You know, we always talk about how we want to start the show each time we come on, some different thoughts we wanted to add. But today, the circumstances of our world is driving how we want to open the show today. I don't know about you guys, but this has been a tough stretch here of senseless tragedy that we have experienced as a nation. Most recently, of course, yesterday with the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, at the school. 19 children and two adults senselessly killed, murdered by someone. And of course, more broadly recently, you know, the shooting in Buffalo, in a predominantly African-American neighborhood at a grocery store, and then the shooting in Southern California at a Taiwanese church. This is just heavy, heavy, heavy stuff, and it just brings up this question, I think, for many of us, is how do we even begin to process this sort of senseless, random suffering? And where is God in all of this? I'm reminded of Psalm 13 opens with, "How long, O Lord? How long must this go on?" It's just this brutal, honest prayer. And I just felt like today we needed to pause and give some space to really think about how do we properly grieve, lament, process heavy, deep emotion like anger, sadness, despair. And how do we do that as Christians? And I wanted to just share briefly from one of the Psalms, Psalm 88. You know, there's 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, and many of them are Psalms of hope. Psalms that, even though many of the Psalms are opening up to God and, "God, where are you? And I long for you, and my enemies are overcoming me, but I still trust in you." It always ends on kind of a good note. But Psalm 88 does something very different. Here's the end of the Psalm 88. Starting in verse 9, "I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. So why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor." And here's the final line: "Darkness is my closest friend." This is in the Bible. This gut-wrenching, honest cry to God of like, "God, this is..." Almost blaming God for what's going on. And it seems to think, why would this be in the Bible? Why would this be included in the scripture? And I think it's because this is gut-level, honest anger and despair, both towards God and in front of God. And so my encouragement to you is, you see what's happening in the world today, as we all do, that we process this grief in our prayer life. We process this pain. We process the anger. We process this deep sadness. And that we do it with a God who understands more than anyone in the universe. Because that last line, "Darkness is my closest friend," you know what it reminded me of? At the end of Jesus' life, as he hung on the cross, darkness was his closest friend. And he did it for us. And that means that when we are at our darkest of times, our closest friend is actually God himself in Jesus. I know many of us are grieving today and are hurting today, and our hope is that we here at New Life can just be a space for you to find some help for your grieving. We'd love to take your calls for 2 hours today, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for being here with us today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for being here with us on New Life Live today. My name is Zach Matchett. I'm filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm joined today by Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron. And we just took a little bit of time here at the beginning of the show to process what's been happening in our nation. And I wanted to get both Mark and Sherry's thoughts to kind of respond to how do we process this kind of senseless tragedy and how do we grieve? Well, Sherry, I'd start with you. What are some thoughts that you have of what's been going on here recently in our world?
Yeah, I don't want to share your story, Zach, but on the break just now, you were talking about, you know, your text chain blew up with other pastors, and one of them, it might have been you, had said, you're holding your kids tighter tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
The grief of what we're experiencing, I think, causes all of us to look around and see what's going on in our world, hug our kids tighter, realize that this is real and it can happen. I think as we're processing the grief, I think most of us become heartbroken with what's going on. And I think we can actually kind of dive headlong into the story. And I guess as we're processing the grief, I would say with our families, really pray for these families and their loss.
Yes.
Answer questions that your kiddos may have, whether they're young kids or teens. They are going to be hearing about it at school. They may have heard something on the news. Just be loving and honest. I want to share one note of caution, and I think we all do this just because we're hurting. We're trying to figure out the why behind mm-hmm. the what happened. And I think some of us can do a deep dive into darkness, like down a dark rabbit hole, and we can spend hours and hours trying to sort through what happened. And that can actually leave us with some additional trauma that we may need to deal with, or our kids may need to deal with. So I'm not saying don't be involved. Just monitor how much you're spending time on the news, how much time you're spending talking about it, so that this incident doesn't overtake your family and create fears in your home and in your schools. We can grieve, and we can also assure our kids of care and peace and our love and our protection, which is what they need to also hear right now in the midst of tragedy.
Yeah, that's great thoughts. Mark, do you want to throw anything in here?
Yeah, I love what you shared earlier, Zach, that reflection. And I think, you know, as Sherry's talking about it here, you know, we're in the stages of grief. And
yeah.
It's important to understand the stages of grief, right? The beginning stages of denial, bargaining, anger, sadness. And that denial is often disbelief, right? We're shocked at what's happened, right? Bargaining is us trying to make sense of mm-hmm. what happened. Why did this happen? Why did that person do it? Right? And then anger is identifying the source of the pain, blame. And then the sadness is that despair and hopelessness. And just recognizing that when we're in that grief, it's normal. It's natural for us to do that when something like this happens. And recognize that other people may not be in the same stage that you're in. And I think if we can learn to recognize when we're flicking back and forth through those stages, it will help us make sense of what's happening in our hearts. And I totally agree. I think this, you know, not that we needed another opportunity, but I know I talked with my kids, both of them, about this yesterday.
Yeah.
One of them came to me.
Good.
And really just talking, I mean, people do these things for a reason. I know it's senseless to us because it doesn't make sense, but we're purposeful beings. We do these things for a reason. And I think just using it as an opportunity to talk to our kids about, you know, what do we do when we have those intense feelings, when we have pain, when we don't want to live anymore. You know, those are the subjects that we often don't really talk too much about, but they're real. And we need to give time and attention to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I, again, thank you for letting us to take that time and attention today. We just feel like we couldn't move forward and just autopilot of how these shows normally go. We just need to pause and honor, and we do just we pray and we grieve with the families that lost children and loved ones yesterday and more recently again in Buffalo and Southern California and those particular incidents. And so we're taking your calls today for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000. Please call in if you need anything. We would love to help if we can. And so we're going to go ahead and go to our first call here. We have Kurt, who is calling in from California, and he's listening to us on KKLA. So, Kurt, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Well, I had a question. My wife and I have been married now for 26 years. We've got three wonderful kids. Two are off from college starting their own life, and the third is in college and home. So we're kind of playing, if you will, empty nesters. But after, and we've had a good relationship, by the way, very, very good, loving relationship. But after our daughters were born, my wife started experiencing a big loss in any kind of intimacy desires. And we've gone to a couple different spouse workshops and talked through things. My wife is very much for trying to figure out what was going on. We ended up a few years ago going to a series of doctors, and it turns out that she does have some deficiencies and some hormones and things, and they tried with some natural remedies. It improved some of her test results, but didn't really affect her drive at all. And then we went to a different doctor, and he said, yes, here are the various things that's going on. Here's what we can do. I also need you to take a look at these complications, understand them. Let me know if you want to proceed with this. We looked it over. We prayed. My wife just felt that, no, she did not want to risk her health in any way. So, of course, I don't want my wife to risk her health in any way. Yeah. And so now, I guess at 52, to be a good Christian husband, I have to, find extra hobbies or do more praying and meditating when the feeling moves me. Because since it's, we do have and have had such a good relationship, and it's a medical situation, and it could harm her. Of course, I don't want that in any way.
Yeah.
So in her mind, that's just kind of a part of our life that's just kind of over with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Kurt, and thanks for all that context. That's helpful for us as we maybe address your question. So is your specific question then how to regain kind of that sexual intimacy with your wife or how to move forward? Would that be the best way to summarize your question?
Well, my wife kind of feels like we've been to counseling. We know now it's a medical, so there's really not any more intimacy to be developed. So I'm just asking you, as a Christian husband, what in the world do I do? Start praying that my desires for my wife are just minimized or washed away?
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. Happened. Yeah, I appreciate your honesty in sharing that, Mark. I mean, we'll start with you. I mean, how would you kind of advise Kurt in this situation? It sounds like there's a lot of layers here that we could go towards.
Yeah, wow, Kurt, thanks for being so open and honest and bringing that up. And you're right, this is something that a lot of people struggle with. It's a real thing. Sex in marriage is a two-person issue. It's not a one-person issue. And I think it's good that you guys are open and you're exploring together. I'm wondering if there, and that's a real question, what do you do? Do you try and turn off your desire for your wife? And that's a God-given desire, right? It's probably unlikely for you to be able to turn that off, at least not in a healthy way. I'm wondering if there's other non-sexual touch and intimacy building things that you can do with your wife. Have you tried any of those things?
We have, and she's just really... just has no desire at all. And now it's kind of like, because it's a medical thing and it could affect her health to try to address it, I'm kind of just expected to, of course, want the best for my wife. And so, don't bring anything up. Don't really discuss it anymore because, it's been decided.
I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah, Sherry, go ahead and jump in
but
here.
But you know what, Kurt? That feels something is imbalanced. What Mark just said is true. Sexuality is a partnership. So there's all kinds of ways that you can experience sexual connection. And this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing real frustration, which has a source for that frustration. But I'm also hearing that you're not okay. You're not okay. And so as a couple, if you're not okay, guess what? The conversation isn't over. Like, I'm sitting here in my mind, like, I haven't been to the doctor's appointments with you, right? You know, I don't know if we're talking about hormone replacement. I don't know if we're talking about testosterone. I don't know if we're talking about, you know, a medical issue could be anything. And there's always risks. But I think there's a landing pad that you co-agreed to that I think you didn't really want to agree to. And so like a GPS, recalculating. I mean, you can miss an off-ramp, but does that mean you stay on the freeway and drive, you know, from California to New Mexico? No, that's a long ways. You pull off again and you say, I am not okay with where we're at. And I am concerned about my thoughts, my feelings. I don't want this to move into a negative direction. So we need some more help to sort through other alternatives or to rethink about maybe meet with another specialist. It can be so frustrating. I know I'm in your age range and lots of things change at our How We Love the workshop, the couples conference that we do. I know Mylan and Kay specifically talk about sexuality, and I can't tell you how amazing they are that they're bloody honest about the changes that happen as we age. But there's always a door that we can find if we're willing to collaborate, and that's where I think you need to start.
Yeah, I think also trying to figure out, is there some sort of like, you know, non-physiological, you know, other underlying issues as well. I mean, even just hearing the phrase, I guess I just have to fill in the blank. I guess I'm just supposed to fill in the blank, that it feels as though that maybe some resolve could be developed in trying to really fight for that marriage and that intimacy. And you mentioned Mylan and Kay's workshop. Sherry, is there a resource that maybe you'd recommend to Kurt specifically on this issue?
I think the How We Love book would be a great resource. And I would love to have them come to the couples conference because I think the area of sexuality, we just don't talk about it enough. And kind of to your point, Kurt, I mean, there, you've got to go there. You've got to talk about the sensitive issues, and you have to be fearless in that place.
Yeah, and what I love about Mylan and Kay is they walk people through how to do the comfort circle, right? How to go into these listener speaker roles and, you know, as the listener, put your stuff to the side to listen to the other person, identify the deep emotional hurt that's beneath there, and learning to just share that with each other. I think it's an ongoing conversation, and that's a way to build. It might not be sexual intimacy that you're building, but it's a way to build intimacy, to be able to continue that discussion and talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and again, it's a complex issue. There's lots of layers, and I heard that in Kurt's voice, that there are multiple things kind of going on there. So, Kurt, we hope that's a helpful resource to you. I did want to mention here, we have a workshop coming up, Every Man's Battle, that's happening actually here in Indianapolis, where I am currently joining you. And if you register by Friday, you can save $200. This workshop, it really is the start of a new life walking in sexual integrity. And again, sex is one way that we can say, you know, between, you know, a man and woman in marriage, I belong completely, exclusively, and permanently to you. Like, this is a way for us to have a union that is self-sacrificing. And it's not just the physical. It's so much more than that. And so, Kurt, we hope that resource is helpful to you. Sherry, jump
in. Yeah, I just wanted to say our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming up, right? It's just right around the corner, July 22nd through 24th, Washington, D.C. And you can register by July 8th and save $200. So now's the time to sign up to, you know, work through some things this summer. Take the opportunity to sort through what isn't working and find a new path.
That's right. Yeah. Take advantage of those resources. We would love to help. Stay with us. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to remind you that your psychological well-being is an important part of your health. Millions of Americans are living with a mental illness or know someone who is, and New Life has many resources to help you personally grow and to better understand those living with mental health issues. All month long, we're running a sale on a variety of books, CDs, and devotionals to help you, so be sure to visit newlife.com to shop the sale.
Thanks again for joining us here today. New Life Live, Zach Match is here. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron are with me. And when you give this month, not only is your gift going to be double, but we're going to say thanks to you by sending you our brand new devotional called 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. Great resource for you. Thanks so much for contributing to this ministry. Again, we're taking your calls today for a couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to go to our next call now. Susie is on the line in Florida. She is calling for the first time. Susie, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Thank you. So, yes, I was calling regarding a separation from my husband. He is in counseling right now for narcissistic personality disorder. He hasn't formally been diagnosed with it, but I see all the symptoms, and I also see borderline personality disorder. I am a believer, and he is claiming to be a believer. So he recently started drinking again. We've been together over 20 years, and he didn't drink for like 18 years. He actually quit. And we weren't believers when we first got together. So recently he has decided that he's not free in Christ if he can't have a drink from time to time. He says he's not going overboard, but I think it affects his mental ability, and I actually think it brings the NPD and the BPD on more, and we are now separated. And so, of course, for me, I'm going to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And so in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul does say that wives are not to separate from their husbands, but if they do, do it for a time. I'm trying to remember what all it says. And not to divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to grapple with all this, and
I understand. Thanks for calling in today, Susie. How would you kind of summarize your question? Is your question dealing with should you separate from your husband, or is there something more specific than that?
I think it is. Should I separate from my husband because there is emotional abuse going on?
Okay, thank you for calling in today. We appreciate it. Sherry, do you want to jump in here and see if we can get Susie pointed in the right direction?
So, Susie, I'm kind of stuck a little bit on your interpretation of 1 Corinthians 7 that says wives are not to separate except for a period of time. Zach, you're a resident pastor. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking when you were saying that, I mean, there's levels to this, right? There's separation, there's divorce, there's the legality of it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do before divorce is finalized, and sometimes when you take those kind of preemptive steps, it does bring a bit of a wake up call that still stay within the bounds of Scripture.
I know a lot of people that separate when behaviors are causing harm. Or when someone isn't motivated to get the help they need. And so I would hope that you wouldn't be choosing to carry some shame for self-protection when there's some things that are happening that are hurting you. Just just saying, right? Because it's complicated enough. I'm curious, why now, after all these years with, you know, what you're seeing is symptoms? If he stopped drinking, great, 18 years ago, he stopped. But my thought is, are there other addictions going on? Are there hidden addictions? Is there a porn addiction? Is there other things that are going on that might be causing someone to behave in an entitled, selfish, angry sort of way?
Well, I know there are other addictions as far as marijuana, but he claims because he has a license for that for his anxiety, although I think he is abusing it. I know he's abusing it. And as far as any other addictions, pornography or anything like that, I do not know of. And
so let's just talk about what you do know of. Having had the privilege of working with Dr. Amen, marijuana is not good for our brains. It's actually as toxic as alcohol when used on a regular basis. And the funny thing is it shuts down two parts of our brain. It shuts down the temporal lobes, which have to do with mood stability. It has to do with dark or violent thoughts. It has to do with paranoia. It has to do with behaving in a way where you're angry and mean. And then it also shuts down the prefrontal cortex, which is the boss of our brain, which helps us behave in good ways. So this could be, Susie, actually a marijuana-induced bad behavior, which is looking like narcissism, BPD, or many other things. And so until he addresses his use, the toxicity, and how that's hurting his brain, his behavior won't change.
Right, right. Sounds like there may be a little bit of denial, too, driving him back to the drinking and some other things and the weight of the problem. Mark, jump in here when we get back from break, okay?
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us, New Life Live today. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron. And we had Susie on the line, and we're just chatting with her about just some problems in her marriage with her husband. There's been some signs of emotional abuse, as well as maybe some substance abuse as well. And Mark, I just wanted to kind of give you the last word here with Susie, and then we've got a resource we want to share with you, Susie. So go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think we might have lost Susie, but I hope you're still listening. I'm sure you am, Susie. So I hear your tension, and your tension really is, how do you stand up for yourself following biblical principles? And sometimes when the Bible is confusing or it's not clear, sometimes it has to do with interpretation of it. So I encourage you to look at a few different interpretations of it. But I think, too, that not that you're the cause of his behavior, but we also do train people in how to treat us in what we allow. And what I find is that the point where people change is when the benefit of change exceeds the cost of staying the same. So I think you're on the right track in doing a separation if behaviors have escalated to that. But I would give him a roadmap. Give him a roadmap of what it is that you need to return back into relationship with him.
Yeah,
like
great.
NA, right? Narcotics Anonymous, to figure out how he is using marijuana and how it's hurting his brain. We have a book that's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. I think it'd be a great, it's in Steve Arterburn's wellness series. I think it'd be a great book to send to Herzak and others that might be experiencing similar hurt from someone who's using.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that when we even just her comment about he doesn't think it's he needs the freedom to be able to have a drink to calm himself down, and there's all this kind of it's always interesting. Sin is always justified at the center, and that goes for all of us because it never feels like the weight of it or the impact of it is as big or as bad as it is at the time. But for those that are experiencing us when we are doing those things, they see it much more clearly oftentimes than we can in ourselves. And so I just appreciate Susie's honesty. We hope that resource is helpful for you and for your husband. Today we got Larry Sonnenberg with us. Larry, what do you have for us?
Hey, Zach, thanks. Matching gift. We still got a ways to go. We've probably got over $540,000 left to go. We were hoping to get it done by the end of this month, and God's a God of miracles. He shows up later than we like sometimes, and even if it's into next month, we're going to still keep this thing going. But we need your gift of support, however you can give it. If you can give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE or go online, you can text match to 28950. But here's why we seek your support, because what the Holy Spirit does through New Life is just nothing short of amazing over and over again. And just listen to this radio. This lady writes, I've been listening to your program for more years than I can even remember. What you all do on a daily basis is nothing short of amazing and truly a gift from God. Your words of wisdom have pulled me through many questionable moments in my life, and somehow the advice that you've given to other people over the years has spoken directly to many of the challenges I've faced. Definitely not a coincidence. I believe God's hand has been all over it. Thank you for truly being someone I can count on for sound biblical advice and for helping me realize that there is hope and healing. And that's what I love. I love that this is a ministry not just of healing, but it gives hope in the process. Yes. Hope before you heal, hope after you heal. And so, folks, that's why we seek your support. We just really appreciate it. We want to get this gift matched. That $540,000 I mentioned, we can't access it until you help us access it. So you give a gift of $10, we'll take $10 out of that. You give us $1,000, we'll take $1,000 out of that. However you can do that, we got to whittle that down to where it's zero. So thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Larry. Thanks for again sharing just another story of life change. And when you give, this is what you're contributing to. You're making a difference. So thanks so much for doing that. We got a lot of calls to get to. Please stay on the line. Again, we're taking your calls for 2 hours today, 1-800-229-3000. The next call we're going to go to is Amy. Amy is listening to us in Texas, and so she is calling in today. Amy, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help?
Well, we have a 15-year-old daughter, the youngest of our three kids, who is addicted to marijuana. We received a call yesterday to come pick her up, that she would be suspended and she will be arrested. So she's in denial about a part of this, and we're trying to love her generously and openly and allow her the experience of this pain because we feel like it's the best teacher. These were her decisions and she wasn't heeding any warnings. So we're trying to find our footing. We need a little bit of wisdom. We need a lot of wisdom because we need to figure out how to move forward, how to not get in the way of the lesson here, but also to not lose our grip on loving her and consequences too.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so hard. Amy, thanks for calling in today. There's no greater just heartfelt kind of pain and just hurt just to know that our kids are going through something tough like that. I did want to ask you before we jump in here, maybe just offer that wisdom you're looking for. How are you processing this? I know when our kids are hurting, sometimes the parents have our own journey of like, how are we processing and grieving and thinking through this emotionally? So how are you doing?
I'm heartbroken. I see this as a situation that is above my pay grade and just beyond my fingertip reach. I feel like it's a faith moment, but also
I know, because we've talked about this, she has shared with me, she's struggling with anxiety. We've only recently in the last year been able to see and understand she was struggling with ADD and anxiety, and they are treating her for that. Okay. But I think because that was delayed so long, I believe that the marijuana's been on board for more than that time. I think that was a way for her to self-medicate, and we didn't know it. I understand why she's doing what she's doing, but she doesn't understand at 15 why it's so bad for her and why this is such a pivotal moment with her being arrested soon to be and what this is doing to her.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Mark, how would we just encourage Amy today? You can hear just kind of the vulnerability and what she's sharing here. It's just, it's tough. How do we get her daughter in the right direction?
Yeah. Hi, Amy. Yeah, these are really hard situations when we know that our kids are doing things that we know are destructive for them. And and they don't really listen to us, so they're not willing to listen to us. And I'm glad you're seeking understanding here, and you're identifying different things there, anxiety and ADD. And I've worked with many kids who have anxiety and ADD, and several of them have actually used marijuana because it helps them. It helps slow their brain down. It helps relax their bodies. And so for them, it feels good. But we know, right, that it's detrimental to them. It's detrimental to their brain development. What's your relationship like with your daughter? It sounds like you're talking to her. Is she able to open up with you? Are you able to get to deep things with her?
I am. I've used the how we love to kind of really transform how we communicate. We will use the comfort circle, you know, communication device in order to kind of deal with that. She's being vulnerable in some things, realizing the weight of the situation, but she still feels the need to lie to us about portions of the truth of this story right now. And I explained to her last night, that one piece that I see that you're not being honest about is completely irrelevant to the whole of who you are and where you're at and how much we love you and what we need to do together to just help you recover.
How we love our kids is a great resource
for all of us.
What was her lie? What did she say to you?
When we got the call to come pick her up, it was because they saw on video that she had a THC cartridge fall from her pocket. You can't dispute that. She told me that she found it in the parking lot at the high school. Now, she went on to have a different conversation with her brother, which was she got it from a friend. She did not find it in the parking lot. But to me, it was irrelevant. How she came upon it, yes, is an important part of the story, but it's not the most important part. It's what you did after you had it in your hand and what you're doing on a regular basis that means more to me than how it actually came to you.
You know what? You're such a good mom. I know.
I agree. You're here.
I know you probably have a lot of guilt and shame over not understanding how big of a problem this was, that she was self-medicating her brain. But I applaud you for your courage. I think you're on the right path. You know, when we get caught, we lie because we know that it's a way that we can get out of consequences. But I think to allow the consequences to happen is brave. I've treated daughters like yours that I've used, and they are 21 and are now in marijuana-induced schizophrenia. So I think you're ahead of the game. And I think to get her into some treatment to help her get off the marijuana. And then we're going to send you the book, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. And there's a ton of resources right there.
Yep. Amy, stay on the line. We'll be back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello again. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron are with me. We are taking your calls today for 2 hours. If you're still on the line, hang in there, but we still love to take your calls. 1-800-229-3000. Amy is with us talking about her daughter's marijuana use. And Sherry, I just want to kind of give you the last word here. Anything that you might add? I know you'd mentioned that resource for
her.
Yeah,
I did. And I just wanted to say, Mark and I were talking, and Zach during the break, still working on this for you. Getting her to come clean, get off the marijuana, is like step number one. Because what Mark had suggested, and we were talking about, is being able to medicate the brain in a healthy way, like with good psychotropic medications, both for ADD and anxiety. That's what's underneath it, right? And so working with her on that. But I was saying, if she's going on those medications and still using marijuana, it neutralizes the effect of the psychotropic medications. So first things first. And maybe even getting her into an inpatient teen center, if there's one in your area. I know we have a few here in California. I don't know what is in your area, but check it out. There might be a place where she can go and be supported as she's, you know, learning from her experience and realizing that marijuana is not her friend.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, anything you would add?
Yeah, no, just to echo what Sherry's saying is that I think that's 100% right. I think, you know, make sure that she's not on that same, you know, self-medicating. But I think it's very important, and it's very helpful if you can get on the right medication for ADHD. And she might find that that helps her be successful, helps her focus, and that reduces her anxiety.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned this anytime we have you know, particularly a parent call. I mean, as a student pastor for a number of years, I always just remind myself, if a parent's calling on the behalf of a child, I just wanted to just pause there and ask, how are you processing? How are you doing? And so, Amy, I would just encourage, if you have not already started this, even pursuing some counseling of your own, just individually, and or a support group of some kind,
like Al-Anon, would be great for you and your husband.
Yeah, well, it's just an outlet.
Yeah,
because we can't do this in isolation. We've got to have people in our life that will hold us up when we are struggling. And you could hear that in Amy's voice. And if you're a parent out there, that point of vulnerability of your kid really struggling, it's just like, it can feel helpless at times. And so, again, thanks so much for calling, Amy. We've got time for one more here. We're going to go to Victor. He is listening to us in Massachusetts. And so, Victor, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes, good afternoon. God bless you for all you do.
Thank you so much.
I'm calling about my lady friend. She's quite older than I am, like 10 years, but we care for each other very much. We've actually known each other for close to 30 years, but we reconnected a few months ago, and she confided in me that she's having mental health issues, depression. And one of the things she told me is that she's paranoid, because she said she loves me and she doesn't want to lose me, but at the same time, she's scared that she's going to lose me to another female. And I told her, don't worry about that. I understand how you feel, but I wouldn't be here if I didn't care for you. However, I think her children, she has grown children, and she said that they're telling her to be careful because, you know, he might look and sound like the ideal guy, and you're taken with him, and but you got to be careful because he could be something underneath. And I understand that, you know, they're caring about her, but she's having these thoughts in her head that I'm not really too crazy about. But in other words, I'm trying to see if I can help her and get some kind of help for myself. Because it seems like when we get together sometimes, something always comes up. And we're trying to push through that, but I want to try to get some kind of counseling or help for myself on how to deal with this.
Yeah.
So I don't get angry at her.
Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much for reaching out. Mark, how would you, I mean, it's interesting, Victor, just that phrase of I'm looking to find some help, looking for some next steps, some action steps about how to move forward in this. Mark, what would be your advice to Victor?
Yeah, Veta, I'm so glad that your friend, your lady friend, has a friend in you and that you're caring about her. And people in depression, one of the things about depression is that we view the world with this negative outlook, and it's hard to change that. You can't think your way out of it. And so I can understand how she may have these fears, and I'm hearing you say too about her kids who are maybe cautioning her against, you know, friendship with you. I'm wondering if there's a way that you can either meet with her kids and also share with them that you care and you love their mom and you're you're for her and you're genuine and you want to help her.
Yeah. Sherry, what do you think?
I actually know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Victor. Go ahead, Victor. No, after you.
I know one of her sons who lives with her. He's in a wheelchair. He seems to be very understanding. I haven't met the other kids. Her oldest son, who's like 4 or 5 years younger than I am, he has a very aggressive view on this, which is understandable, because she's very sensitive to what people say with her and about her. So I'd be kind of careful, but it's kind of aggravating walking on eggshells. So
Victor, can you? I know we just have a couple minutes. Did you grow up in a single parent home?
No.
Okay. Did you grow up and feel the need to take care of or rescue one of your parents, either your mom?
I helped my mom a lot growing up, and my siblings.
Okay.
I helped all of them. I'm next to the youngest, so I'm pretty responsible.
So you know what? That's your first piece I want you to take into therapy. Do you know what I think this is? I think this is somewhat of a replication. A replication means kind of a copycat, something that happened early in our lives that happens in an adult life. But it leaves us frustrated, not really getting the prize. Having grown up as a caretaker and taking care of your mom, you learned how to do this. You were rewarded and burdened at the same time. And I can see that you have a very good heart, but something in you has gotten hooked into caretaking for this woman. And it might be different situation, different health issues than your mom.
Yeah.
But the actions, the behaviors, the frustrations might be very much the same. And so that, I want you to get into therapy and start looking at that and really work with someone to get honest about what you can do to get to be in a relationship where it's reciprocal, where you're loved and rewarded.
Yeah, and I think that resource, Take Your Life Back, would be a great book to send to you, Victor. And, again, when situations like this come up and we see commonality between, okay, how do I, family of origin that Sherry mentioned, and even just the current situation, this woman's adult children, or they have opinions about how things are going. Again, we hope that you can find an outlet where you're processing your own personal health, your own personal well-being, so that you can be at the best for her and support her. You can visit newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I mean, even just anybody, just the questions Victor asked. I need to find a counselor. I need to find my next steps. Please visit those resources if you need some help. If you found this show to be helpful, please share it with a friend. If something we said helped you today, it will help them as well. Mark Cameron, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Zach Matchett. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.